It's here and now. While Congress was away for the 4th of July recess, an entire government was deposed in Egypt. That will probably prompt some conversations in Washington as lawmakers get down to business. Or don't. A meager 15 laws have been passed so far this year. NPR's senior Washington editor Ron Elving is with us. Ron, first of all, hello.
Good to be with you, Robin.
Good to speak with you. And so we've heard this word gridlock for so long, but we're hearing this time around it is serious. And the New York Times is writing today that, you know, drop-dead deadlines for passing legislation used to mean something. They don't anymore. Is this really true that there's more gridlock now than other gridlock times?
Yes, it is true. The laws and procedures that we have and have had for a long time are full of deadlines. Deadlines are everywhere, and they're meant to force people to act, and they're meant to force people to compromise. And the refusal of this particular Congress to do either of those things, either act or compromise, has a lot to do with the abysmal approval rating that this Congress has right now, down into single digits in some polls. So there's a sizable contingent in Congress right now that does not favor government action and is adamantly opposed to compromise. So they're willing to essentially let deadlines pass and let the consequences be what they might.
And why is that, as opposed to past Congresses, that they're so willing to do that?
You do have a body of people who feel that every time the government acts, it has ultimately unintended consequences or deleterious consequences. And they also believe that every time they compromise, and we're talking here about conservatives primarily in the House, every time they compromise, they end up in the long run getting the short end of the deal. They don't get what they wanted, but the other side gets what it wanted. And they're tired of that, and they're ready to see the system break down to a certain degree to prevent it happening anymore.
We're also hearing that some of these younger conservatives that are bucking their own leadership on things like the farm bill have been redistricted into safe seats, so they're not worried about reelection.
They're only worried about renomination. They're only worried about their primary. And they know that if they get the Republican nomination, they're going to be safe in November. And there are quite a few Democrats in the same situation. They know they're going to be safe in the general election. The other party's not going to be able to touch them because the district is so one-sided. But they are very worried about somebody coming along in a primary and saying, hey, you haven't been tough enough. You haven't been partisan enough, and we want somebody who'll be tougher.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at what they may or may not. Well, they're going to take it up. What they do with it, we don't know. Congress left, and on July 1st, rates for new student loans rose from 3.4 to 6.8% over the life of loans for some new students. That could be an additional $7,000. So there was talk that Congress would come back and fix that. What are your thoughts?
Congress is going to try. The Senate is taking it up this week. The Senate has got a bill that it thinks would work. It would extend the 3.4 rate for a year. And then after that, it would experiment with trying to move towards an adjustment to market rates, such as you suggested. Let the rate go up as interest rates for the economy as a whole might go up. The Republicans in the House have actually already passed a bill here that does go to a market-based system, but it does not guarantee or it does not protect people with their loans who are already in school now from some sort of upfront costs on that. So the Democrats in the Senate are refusing to even take up the House measure.
Yeah, okay. So, again, what do you think might happen? I mean, where might this end up?
In the end, the Democrats from the Senate will probably come a fair distance towards accommodating the market rate preferences of the conservatives, and the House will have to decide whether or not it wants to take responsibility at that point for no legislation at all, which would mean student rates would double from 3.4 to 6.8%, as you said.
Okay. Well, immigration. We've talked a lot about immigration reform over the past few weeks. The issue moves from the Senate to the House. Republicans plan to meet Wednesday in a private meeting to talk about their next steps. What's going on behind those closed doors, do you think?
The Republicans are going to have quite a Donnybrook over this because many of the more establishment Republicans, many of the people with kind of a national perspective, think this is the time for the Republicans to embrace a more immigration-friendly policy, particularly because of Hispanic voters who have been deserting them, going to the Democrats. But that is not necessarily the thinking of that group within the House that we've been talking about. The more conservative group will not embrace the Senate bill. They won't embrace anything that has an explicit path to citizenship. partisanship in it. They might endorse some stronger border security, and they might endorse some smaller measures that would address the need for more people with certain high skills for the high-tech industry to get immigration visas and things of that nature. But they're very worried about passing anything that's big enough to go to conference with the Senate and, again, create that kind of compromise where they think they give up too much, and in the end, they wind up with what they call amnesty for people who are in the country today unlawfully.
Well, you feel sorry for John Boehner, because this is the same debate over the farm bill. He wanted it passed, and those same many of those same Republicans just did not want to see the food aid, what we used to call food stamps, money in there. Talk about the farm bill.
That bill is subject to this same squeeze where Speaker Boehner has said, I'm not going to bring anything to the floor that doesn't have the support of most of the people in my Republican caucus, my Republican conference. If most of the people in that group of people are not for a particular bill, I'm not going to bring it to the floor and pass it with the votes of the Democrats. That would be something he could do. It would be a form of pressure he could bring on his own folks, but he chooses not to do that. And as long as he does that and protects his own survival, if you will, as the leader of the Republicans, it's going to be extremely difficult to pass anything big, even a traditional winner like the Farm Bill, where for, you know, a couple of generations we've seen urban and rural members of Congress vote together, the urban members largely for the sake of food stamps and the rural members largely for the sake of food programs, farm programs, subsidies for various commodities, things that help farmers and things that help people in rural America.
We're already reading reports of other countries eyeing this and thinking, hey, we can get in on this business, you know, if they keep this up. So if the deadline passes September 30th and nothing happens, what happens?
Many programs just simply end. This is a place where deadlines do matter. If Congress does not do what it needs to do by that deadline, there'll be real consequences. The dairy prices, for example, will skyrocket, and there will be a lot of other countries looking at us and saying, how can we get in on their markets, and how can we take markets away from United States producers in the absence of coherent farm policy from the United States?
Okay, well, that's in Washington. Ron Elving, while we have you, we have to ask about New York, where apparently we're going to see not one but two scandals, or at least two candidates with scandals in their past, on the ballot this fall. We know former Congressman Anthony Weiner, already on the ballot for mayor, was doing quite well, and maybe that's what influenced former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer to announce that he's going to run for comptroller. Does this tell you that people just don't care about scandals anymore? Or do you think in New York they're going to say, wait a second, one is okay, but two is asking a lot?
So will there be a Wiener Spitzer party? Well, I don't think so. But, you know, people do still notice sex scandals, and they still care about them. I think women especially care about the signals that a male politician sends about his attitudes towards women in some of these cases. But people who disapprove to the point of a voting decision, that number is probably smaller than it used to be, and more people seem to be shrugging their shoulders and saying, doesn't matter to me.
I could just see other people with huge scandals in their past saying, I'm going to run for governor. It seems to be working in New York. Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor, thank you for helping us set the table all the way to the fall. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Brilliant Earth, committed to environmental and social responsibility with conflict-free diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and other fine jewelry. Online at brilliantearth.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line, a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Best Buy.